Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Cheryl Hardy, FAA Production Studios Public Relations and National FAST Team Representative of the Year from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Good afternoon. This is Cheryl Hardy coming to you live from Sun and Fun 2010. Right now, I'm on the rooftop of the FAST Team National Resource Center and FAA Production Studios. If you're joining us live on this stream, welcome back. We've been live all day long and we'll be live all through Sun and Fun, so we're glad that you're with us. Don't forget, After Sun and Fun, you can also catch our videos on demand. And don't forget, you can download our Managing Safety program as well from the website and on iTunes. This afternoon on the rooftop, I have a very, very distinct pleasure of having our FAA Administrator, Mr. Randy Babbitt, with us. Welcome. How are you?
I'm just fine, Cheryl. Thanks for having me up here.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day. We've got a little bit of wind going on, but that's okay, too. It doesn't seem to falter our air show performers, that's for sure.
No, some of the pilots are working a little harder in this air, but they're doing a great job.
Yeah, some of them are. I was talking to a few of them earlier, and actually some of them are actually saying it's helping them along in some cases. So,
yeah.
it helps them do those slow flight maneuvers depending on which way they're headed over the runway.
That's
so
right.
Low and slow, and it helps them out.
Absolutely.
Is this your first visit to Sun and Fun?
It sure is. My first time down here at the actual air show.
That's fantastic. Now, you're from Florida originally. I'm sure most people know that, but tell us where you're from here in Florida.
I was born in South Florida, in Coral Gables, actually, but learned to fly here. So I've actually flown to the Lakeland Airport before, but never for the air show. But flown all over in South Florida growing up and flight instructing.
Well, this is a great event. It's good to have you here, and I hope you're going to be back with us every year thereafter.
Oh, absolutely. This is, once you come to one, you're coming back, that's for sure.
So. Now, you know, just a little bit earlier today, I was out with the GA Award recipients earlier this morning, and I saw an F-16 shoot vertical into the sky. Can you tell me what your situational awareness was at that moment?
I was highly attuned to my situational awareness. That was my first ride in an F-16.
You were in the back seat.
I was with one of the Thunderbirds. I had a fantastic team out. The pilot was a fellow named Taz, and he's awesome. Part of the Thunderbirds, and he put on a great display of the capabilities of the F-16. We did some of the air show maneuvers, and even got my 9G pin to show for
it. Oh, that's great.
That's not something you want to do every morning, but it was great fun.
All right, so tell me what you were thinking when you did that vertical climb.
Well, I was thinking I've never been anything that had more thrust than weight, so we literally could just climb straight up.
That was amazing, yeah.
Very, very impressive machine. So just a thrill of a life. I told Taz when we got down, I said, I've got over 14,000 hours. Mm-hmm. This may be one of the most memorable.
So, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. So those of you who have never had the experience, and most of us haven't, it's a real honor to get that experience.
Oh, it was. I was just incredibly appreciative. I told the Thunderbirds they were all assembled there, the whole team, and I got to meet everybody and shake hands with them all. But I told them how much I appreciate what they do for aviation.
They
ignite the spirit of aviation in a lot of people. Shows like this let people actually get out and see airplanes and meet pilots.
Absolutely.
This is how we're going to attract the best and the brightest.
Oh, you better believe it. There's no doubt. And what a better example than we could have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the regiment and what they do and what they go through and their safety team. I'll have the safety officer up here tomorrow, so we'll be talking to him a little bit about on the safety side. So that'll be excellent.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about your history and flying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be casual at first before we get into any politics, if that's
okay.
All right.
Okay.
But was your father your mentor into flying?
Yeah, he was. I was blessed. I had great folks, and my dad was a terrific guy, and he was a pilot. He was, although he would tell you first and foremost, he was an aircraft mechanic. I think he thought more of his skills there, but he was a commercial pilot. And when I turned 16, they gave me a solo course for my birthday. And my dad said, son, if that's something you like doing, keep doing it. If it's not, you know, you got the box square, go do something else. Well, I'd been building model airplanes since I was 10, so never looked back. I got my private when I was 17, the day of. I got my commercial the day I turned 18, And the next day I got my CFI. Mm-hmm. So I've been flying, you know, in some way, shape, or form for a living my whole life.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Now, your dad was a founding father for ALPA, was he not?
He was one of the early members, yeah, okay. Back in 1935. It was a nascent organization, and he was very instrumental. That was another area of mentoring. I always appreciated my dad's judgment and insight, and best of all, humor, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No question about that. Now, you also, in your career, were a president of ALPA.
Yes, I was.
Yes.
Yeah, I was.
You served for about 8 years, I believe.
That's correct. I was president for 8 years. Interesting times. I mean, it was a great privilege to have the pilots, you know, choose me to represent them. But it's a wonderful learning experience. I wouldn't trade it. I chose not to do it anymore, but I wouldn't trade what I did for anything. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, your career before you became the president of ALPA. Fill mm-hmm. me in that gap in the middle.
Okay, well, I started as a young pilot for Eastern Airlines. Mm-hmm. I was based originally in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Flew there, based in Miami for a while, ultimately back in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So I got to fly the shuttle, you know, which was going to New York every other hour. That's a great experience.
Oh, yeah,
especially
it is.
When the weather's bad. You get to shoot a lot of approaches if you're a shuttle pilot in the winter. But I went on. I flew most of the airplanes that Eastern had when I was there. I flew the Lockheed Electra.
Mm-hmm.
I flew the DC-9, 727, the Airbus, the as we like to call it, the steam gauge Airbus, analog airplane.
Sure.
So, great experience. I enjoyed all my flying career. And, of course, Eastern went the way of some carriers in the transition to deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
And Eastern wound up going out of business. But great experience. Again, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Are you able to fly general aviation now? Do you get a chance?
I do. Yeah, I keep my hand in general aviation, which I enjoy. I get to fly simulators and things. I'm actually set up next week. I'm going to go to school and get qualified in the FAA citation. So.
Very nice.
Just to keep my hand in again. I enjoy flying. It's sort of like it never fit into the category of hard work. I always enjoyed flying.
I think you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head, and that's what it's all about. We enjoy flying.
Yeah.
You know, we want the skies to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, that's
yeah.
part of what we're all working yeah. towards with the safety program. And that's
and the work part, I wouldn't want to dismiss that it's just all fun. The work mm-hmm. part is being the professional.
Absolutely.
That's the being. A good pilot's never a surprise pilot. I learned that when I had less than 5 hours.
Right.
And it holds true today. If you have prepared yourself, you have done the things you're supposed to do, you're a good pilot.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about that. We had Jeff Skiles up on the roof yesterday. So
mm-hmm.
we were talking a little bit about, you know, his flight. And as he said, everything just clicked.
Mm-hmm.
The checklist just clicked. Everything yeah. just fell right into line.
There were no surprises.
Yeah. No surprises. Yeah. So that's not luck. That's experience.
That's right. Yep. And planning.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
No
yeah.
question about it.
Yeah.
You know, and then afterwards you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you get scared.
Sure. Well, then you say, now that's something I'll never do again.
That's right. You hope.
I remind people that there's a lot of red guards on switches in airplanes because, you know what, we should cover that switch up. People have hit it by mistake or something.
Sure.
So we learn from our mistakes.
Sure.
And,
absolutely. Experience is the best teacher.
And mentoring, I'm a big proponent. If we talk a lot about professionalism, and I talk a lot about mentoring, and I think pilots with more experience should accept the obligation of passing that experience transfer on to younger pilots.
No question about it. You know, I was mentored into the program here.
Mm-hmm.
I was mentored into the safety program. And there's not a better experience than being mentored in
mm-hmm.
and working with people who mm-hmm. are all working towards the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got a lot of young kids here at the studio that we've mentored in and that mm-hmm. we're working with CFAA. Here on the field, the Aerospace Academy, we've got a lot of kids, and they make the grade.
Yeah.
If they make the grade, they can come work with us here at
that's
the studio
great.
For a certain amount of hours every week.
Right. That's the way it works best.
We can channel them, and hopefully
yeah.
we'll get them into careers in aviation.
Yeah.
Young Eagles.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you flown Young Eagles pilots?
I have not, but I have. I've been part of some of their fundraising efforts. It's a great program.
It's a wonderful program, and it's very rewarding. And obviously, we encourage that too, because mentoring is huge.
Sure.
Have you had a chance to walk the rounds?
I have. Yeah, that's the exciting part for me. The best part is walking around and staying incognito. I really was quite comfortable them not knowing who I am. So
good for you.
Yeah. I had an experience at another air show last year, and I was fascinated with a beautiful staggerwing beach. And after about 5 minutes, I think the person whose airplane it was said to somebody, "He seems to have a lot of people with him. Who is that guy?" And he said, "He's the FAA administrator." I thought he was going to pass out because he thought I was going to ground his airplane or something.
Oh, jeez.
Quite the contrary. I was just admiring the beauty of the craftsmanship of his airplane.
Have you had a chance to take a look at some of the sport aircraft?
I have, the light sports and all of that. The home builds here, the amateur built aircraft. Yeah.
There's some very, very nice airplanes out there.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's again, air shows like this, a lot of people think that this is out of the realm of their capabilities to ever build an airplane like this. Mm-hmm. This gives you an opportunity to sit down and talk with people who have built these airplanes. And they weren't, these were not aerospace engineers that put these together. Mm-hmm. These were regular folks that took courses, learned to do things the right way, and had mentors help them.
Oh, yes.
So it's a great program here, too.
It's terrific. You know, I try and get out to the hands-on workshop if I get time off. I won't get time off this week, but that's okay, too. It's all good.
Yeah.
But when you get out there and work, in the grassroots and get your hands on, it's really great stuff.
And the workshops here where people can learn the refined techniques of welding or putting fabric on airplanes, riveting, all of those kinds of things. It's a great experience.
Oh, it is. And it really stirs you inside because it just makes you want it more.
Sure. Well, I've taken it at other air shows. I've sort of audited some of these courses, not necessarily because I wanted to learn how to rivet. I just enjoy understanding how the actual process works and where the strength comes from in this construction.
Absolutely, you bet. I learned how to weld here.
Oh, yeah.
That was my first experience, and I thought, oh, this is really great. So my husband and I set out, at some point in time, we'd really like to build something, which would really be a great experience.
Right.
In the meantime, it's, with both of us working, it's difficult, so we'll otherwise, have to purchase something. But
sure.
But after that, definitely, we'd like to get into that.
So. Yeah, that's fun. A lot of fun.
So tell me a little bit about your plans here at Sun and Fun.
Well, I'm going to mix up a little bit of just personal catching up on what's going on in aviation.
Good.
I love to talk with some of the pilots, and especially when they don't know who I am, I get good feedback. We have a lot of FAA employees here. I will spend time with them. Mm-hmm. This is it's a great opportunity here for the FAA to interface on a personal basis, which I think is so very important.
It's key.
People can come and meet face-to-face with one of the Aeromed specialists. They can meet with aircraft certification people, get their questions. And it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. The people of the FAA get the chance to meet the very people they're working with, the customer, if you would.
That's right. And what we have to remember is it's real people and real people.
Yep. Yep.
And we need that relationship to keep being fostered that way, because the FAA does have an ear.
Right.
So many people think, for years and years and years, but it's not true. The FAA does have an ear, and they're here, and you can touch them, feel them, see them, talk to them, and it's really, really, really beneficial to all of us.
So, we have some other things that I'll be engaged in. We're going to go over to one of the high school programs today and meet with students.
Excellent.
Try and inspire more of America's best and brightest to get in and stay in these programs. That's very fulfilling for me. There's a lot of work side of this job. That's one of those. I get more fulfillment. What I told the Air Force pilot that flew me today, Taz, I said, at this air show, if 1,000 people watch this air show and 5 kids get inspired, young men and women get inspired to go into aviation because of what the Thunderbirds did here today, we win.
You're absolutely right. There's no question about that.
Yep.
We absolutely do win. And that's key to what we're all doing and what we're trying to do for aviation and aviation safety. There's no question about it.
Very good.
So let's talk a little politics.
Politics.
Yeah,
oh boy.
Let's talk a little politics.
I try to steer clear of those.
And I know, and I don't blame you one bit because I know you get it all the time. Yeah. But bring us up to speed a little bit on the reauthorization.
Okay. Bill. Well, the reauthorization, I think in fairness to our Congress, they have had a fair amount on their plate. Now, those of us in aviation think that the main course should be reauthorization. And that the other side dishes, that health care and those other things.
Right, right.
But, we don't always see it that way. So there were a number of key, the economy was in a very difficult time.
Yes.
And I think the stimulus and getting America back on its feet, getting people jobs. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's done a great job. Headlines I'm reading this morning. The stimulus effects are beginning to really manifest themselves, jobs, confidence, automobiles, aircraft sales, all moving in the right direction. And that's a good thing.
It is.
So, healthcare, I think, had a lot of focus that, is an enormous when you, we think of the importance of the aviation bills. But when you think of the dollar amount of an aviation bill versus the cost of health care and the number of people affected, you can understand why, we didn't get the front row seat.
But right.
We're going to get it now. I'm very comfortable. I've had some nice discussions. I'm not a terribly political administrator, but I understand that's what we have to do.
Sure.
I have had good meetings with key members of Congress, both in the House and in the Senate. We have some very good folks. Chairman Costello of the Aviation Subcommittee, Chairman Rockefeller on the Large Committee, and Senator Dorgan, Aviation Subcommittees, all of them are very sincere aviation enthusiasts.
Excellent.
And we get a lot of support from them, and I've really made the appeal that we need to get this bill and get it moving, and so we can get on with the things we need to do.
And I understand, and I know a big portion of the bill is highlighting next gen. Can you give us a little bit of information about that or any updates on that?
Absolutely. We have, the good news for us is a lot of federal agencies had their budgets curtailed. We did not. Our budget going forward, we actually get some serious increases. We have made the case. Mm-hmm. The business case is there for next gen.
Mm-hmm.
It's there for everybody. And I spend a lot of my time speaking, talking about the benefits. It's not just for big airlines. It's not just to fix Kennedy Airport, LaGuardia, and Chicago. What we're going to get as general aviation pilots out of this is incredible. We're going to have flight planning capabilities we've never had before. Eventually, when we have on board an aircraft, when we have ADS-B in and out, we're going to be able to have traffic and weather services available to us, weather radar better than any onboard weather radar. We're going to have horizontal and vertical guidance to almost every airport in the country, places we could never afford to put an ILS approach or even a VOR approach. We wouldn't want to put the ground facilities in, or you couldn't cost justify it.
Sure.
With satellite navigation, all we need to do is design the approach once, and we're done. And now you have an approach for life.
That's fantastic.
So we're going to get so many benefits, traffic advisories. When you're VFR, you're going to have traffic. It's going to display traffic better to you than a controller in IFR conditions, or as good as what a controller would see. And you'll see it with your own eyes. So you can remain VFR. So the freedom of operation, the enhanced levels of safety, it's such an incredibly simple business case. We just have to do it. It's not can we afford to, it's can we afford not to.
Not to, exactly. Now, when we get the bill through and everything's finalized, it will take effect when?
Well, the reauthorization, we probably get a two-year reauthorization. Mm-hmm. We are set to have the ground infrastructure for ADS-B in place. We're about a third of the way there now, but we're completely in place by 2013.
Okay. That's not too far off.
It's not too far off at all. And using the premise of best equipped, best served, people say, well, will I have to have this equipment? Well, do you have to have a transponder?
Right.
Well, only if you want to fly in positive controlled airspace.
There
you go.
You
want to fly off your grass field and fly VFR around, you're not going to have to do
anything.
You're
good to go. You're still
good to go. You want
more
capability and all the benefits that come with the equipage, there's several levels. You could go into controlled airspace with ADS-B out and the options available to you for better weather, better traffic, NOTAMs and everything, right on display. You just select through a screen. So it's fantastic stuff.
All at our fingertips.
Yep, and that should be fully implemented. Anybody who would want all of the services, data link, all of that will be progressing between 2013 and 2018 in that five-year period. Mm-hmm. The faster you equip, the faster you get it. So RNP approaches. There's a difference between simply having, in the WASP sense, where we have wide area augmentation that refines the satellite signal. When we have RNAV, that refines it even further, and we can shoot very precision approaches. We can also have better arrival and departure procedures from airports, decoupling airports. And is that important? Yes. Let me give an example. When the weather's bad in the New York area, Kennedy's backed up, Newark is backed up, LaGuardia's backed up. Sometimes the traffic gets so bad, we have to either restrict or close Teterboro.
Right.
Because it's in the same airspace. But we can decouple Teterboro. We can separate Midway from Chicago O'Hare so that they're not one chunk of airspace, but they can operate as independent airports. Those are the kinds of things that help both general aviation and commercial aviation.
Absolutely. Those are benefits. They're
huge
definitely benefits.
Yeah.
That's really, really neat stuff, you know?
Now,
I know next gen isn't the only thing affected by the reauthorization, but we have a tendency to hyper-focus on that because it is so important and it is key.
Right.
What else is in that
Well, the other, the big piece, again, general aviation and commercial aviation, both, our airport improvement funds, those come out of reauthorized funding, and it's very important that we have a longer term. We get some opportunities to have extensions. As a matter of fact, we've had 12 of them, unfortunately. So it's not like they stopped the money for us. But you can't build a five-year airport expansion program on 3 months' worth of money.
Right.
So having a known period of time where we're going to have access to those funds is very important. For airports to put their longer-range plans in, we can have a more robust schedule of building more approaches. We now have more approaches designed for satellite navigation than we do ILSs. For the first time in history, we've crossed that line, so we're up to almost 2,000. And we're putting on about 500 approaches a year now that will give us localizer and vertical guidance capability, LPV approaches. So that's a huge step for us.
That's a very huge step, you know. And what part of what we need to understand as pilots and the pilot community, you know, because on the other side, you know, if you're not into the political side, you know, we're over here going, well, I don't understand why they don't do this. Why can't they do that faster? Yeah. It's all a process. It's all a process, and in most cases, it's a lengthy process.
Sure.
You know, and what we have to understand is it is budgets, and it is getting things approved and getting things moved around, and you know, what we want tomorrow can't happen next year. It may be 2 years, it may be 3 years, it may be 5 years.
Yeah.
But things can and will happen.
Yeah. Well, and these are very deliberative processes too,
exactly.
And there's a lot of people involved. I heard a good explanation one time when you write legislation, people say, well, geez, it takes so long. Try having your whole family over, you know, over a Christmas holiday and say, hey, let's rent a movie. What should we get?
That's it.
See how quickly that decision is reached.
Very,
it's a deliberative process.
It is. It is a very deliberate process. I myself am involved in legislation and writing legislation, too. So I do understand that process. You know, most people don't. They're not close to it. So, you know, you can't flip a switch and make it happen.
Right.
But, you know, it is being worked towards, and it's very exciting, and I'm very excited about it.
Great.
You know, being able to fly for years and years and moving on to that type of technology is really
well. In the various organizations around, I'm obviously not in the lobbying business, and shouldn't be. But pilots, I think they can do themselves collectively, individually, and collectively a service. There's a lot of great pilot organizations, some large ones. I won't advertise for
them.
But people probably know who they are.
Sure.
They do a great job of keeping people up to date on what's important in these bills and what wouldn't be so good.
You better believe it. Yes.
So a lot of times it's not what you got passed that's important. It's what you stopped from getting passed.
That's absolutely
correct. So I would suggest to all the folks that are listening to you know, pay attention to the different pilot organizations, and they really do a good job of looking out for what's important for you.
No question, because they're going through, they're reading that legislation. They can weed through it. They know what's tacked on. They know what what's ponying up at the last minute and all that kind of good stuff. And and it is an art. It's an art form in itself, just lobbying and doing the legislative side.
And a lot of the things, you know, people will ask me, well, why does the FAA have this or that in a bill? It wasn't the FAA's idea to put that in the bill.
Right.
You know, there are other people, a lot of outside influences that push things, whether they want a regulation to do this or a regulation to prohibit that.
Right.
Not necessarily our ideas.
Right, so, that's absolutely it, because you can tack on legislation to just about any bill that's out there.
That's right.
And get it through, and, and it's important to understand that.
Yeah.
We only have a few more minutes, but I do want to touch base. I know I've read a few things that that you've spoke on as far as fatigue and rest rules. Tell me about that. Tell me how you feel about the fatigue and rest rules.
Well,
and
I'm real excited that we're getting that one over the goal line. I know this. You know, we talked earlier about how deliberative a process some of these things are, and this is an incredibly complicated regulation. Mm-hmm. People have been working on revising it for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. We are now in the home stretch. The language is written. It's now in executive review. As soon as that's completed, it will be out then as a notice of proposed rulemaking. People can comment on it. We'll probably put it out for 45 to 60 days for comments.
Okay.
And then we'll issue a final rule.
Fantastic. Okay.
That final rule will bring, for the first time in U.S. aviation history, is going to bring science into fatigue. It's going to look at fatigue management. So every pilot, you don't have to be a 121 pilot to be tired. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a 135.
Right.
You can be out there just as a general aviation pilot.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when you should recognize you are fatigued
and
you don't have any business flying.
And fatigue has many sources.
Absolutely. Fatigue, I liken it, the best description it to me is like lead poisoning. You don't know you're getting it until it's too late.
That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And now, real quick, again, as far as on the medical side, the antidepressants, as far as that regulation being worked on, being changed. Give us a little update on that.
We changed the policy, a 70-year-old policy. Remember, safety is the number one goal. That was our focus.
Yep.
And what we did, we have taken all of those thoughts into consideration. We know more about these medicines. We know more about not taking these medicines.
Right.
And the reality is we have a lot of pilots who have either some symptoms of mild depression and they will not seek treatment because they know it will cost them their license.
Right.
That's not good.
That's
good a very undesirable outcome. We would much rather allow these pilots to come forward, be treated. Mm-hmm. We know what they're doing. The other reality is we've got pilots that are self-medicating. They go to their family physician, get a medication that may not be the right medication. They don't tell their AME, their aeromed examiner about it. And so we've got people, either of those are bad solutions.
Yes.
We think we've had a good solution, and I'm tickled to death that it has been so well received. There was some concern that people would, quite the contrary, people are saying this was incredibly the right thing to do.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I was excited when I first started following it because it is a good thing to do.
Well,
it really is.
Thank you.
We're going to wrap it up here on the rooftop. I could talk to you for hours. There's no question about that. There's so much going on and so much to do.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to sign off from the rooftop if you want to have any few last words to everybody out there.
No, this was fantastic. I hope you're here at this air show. If you're not, you're missing a great show and a great afternoon here. It was wonderful, you know, getting a chance to catch up with you, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it greatly. We're going to sign off. We're getting ready to go back downstairs, so stay tuned in. We're on the rooftop of the FAA Production Studios and National Resource Center here on the field at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. Sun and Fun 2010. It is spring break for pilots. Keep with us all week long. You're going to have a great time.
Absolutely. Fly safe.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.